Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm Sam Legasek.
And I'm Dreadful Dan Gallagher. And we're two old buddies that have lived our life at the edge of the mainstream.
So come join us where things are a little odd.
This is the Podcast.
You've got to believe.
It's alive! It's loose!
This earth of yours will be reduced to a burned out cinder.
Everybody, welcome to Oddcast Movies, Music and Gaming. Here with me on this very special episode, because every episode is very special, it's Dreadful Dan. Hello, Dan.
Hiya, how you doing?
I'm good. And how are you?
Very good, thank you. Yeah, looking forward to another scintillating chat with you on an odd thing.
Well, today's one is very odd for a variety of reasons. And Dan, it's about to get hot in here because we are going to be talking about Hotline Miami. So there you go. That's a little taste of Hotline Miami, which is a game. If people don't know, that was released in 2012 originally. But to be fair, it's been released on pretty much every platform since then. I think it was first released just on Windows originally. It's known as a bit of an indie darling in terms of the gaming scene. But Dan, have you heard anything about this game beforehand? What's your background with it? Or is it just the fact that I've told you to doing it for this episode?
Essentially, yes. You told me and I complied by watching a few walkthroughs, listening to a bit of the soundtrack. Got to say, I would have loved to have played this game. Really liked what I saw. That little sound clip you played there at the beginning, you know, I think that says everything. It says to me, excess, because it's very in your face. It's kind of sexy, but it was also pretty violent. Sounds there of blood being splattered, bones crunched, shotguns fired. And I think that's mostly what appealed to me. Yeah. I do like some violence in games, but I also like my old games.
Yeah.
I basically stopped gaming in the mid-90s. And anything that kind of harkens back to that era is very appealing. So I liked that whole like top-down look.
Yeah,
I liked I did still bleed into the very early PS1 days, so I did see and enjoy that whole Grand Theft Auto vibe.
Yes, true.
But yeah, everything about like the look appealed to me. Everything about the music very much appealed to me as well, as you can imagine. So yeah, I thought looks great.
Yeah, it does look great. It was one of those games that when it got released, I was like, oh, this looks interesting. I basically got it as soon as, I think it got released on the PSP. I think it might be the first time I played it. Because I didn't really have like a gaming PC, not that you really need one to play a game like this. There's a Hotline Miami 1 and 2. And yeah, I played both of these on Sony's handheld. And it was the perfect kind of game for that. So what is it? So Hotline Miami, yeah, top-down shooter. It's by two guys. I think they're Swedish, but I'm going to have real trouble saying their name. Jonathan Soderstrom and Dennis Vedin.
Convincing.
Denaton Games, which is Dennis and Jonathan. They basically put their names together, Denaton Games, which is great. It was published by Devolver Digital, which are one of my favorite games publishers, especially indie-wise, because they're always doing weird and wonderful stuff. And Hotline Miami is like a perfect example of the kind of thing that Devolver do. As I said, it's released on 23rd of October, apparently, 2012 for Microsoft Windows. It basically is about, it's kind of like this surreal, weird experience. It's set in the 80s, I think specifically 1989, Miami. Yeah. And the main guy who people refer to as Jacket, is basically based upon Drive, Ryan Gosling in Drive. And apparently, just generally, the film itself made quite a big impact on the game. And you can see that. And especially with the soundtrack as well, which we'll kind of go on to.
The whole aesthetic and like visuals of all those kind of like bright neon colors, very much like 80s coin-op kind of fonts being used. I could see that drive. But also I think just like more broadly, you know, all like the vaporwave stuff probably
definitely
was around at that time. And it made me think as well of, I think the episodes that we first ever did. I don't know if it was Oddcast then or what, but we did Miami Connection.
That's right, yeah.
Even that, I thought, it's a little bit of that, kind of like 80s.
Especially in, soundtrack kind of vibe. There's one track, I can't remember, but there's specifically one track in particular, I think it's near the end of the game, that sounds like that nighttime fight scene and the end fight scene where they're in the park in Miami Connection. Very much so. I don't know if that was part of it or something, but I don't know. But yeah, you know, 80s Miami Vice and all this stuff. But yeah, those kind of colours, because it's quite pastely, but also like it's still quite bright. Very, very colourful, and that's great. And it's basically, as we said, it's top down. It's kind of like you have to do like basically a perfect run. So you walk in usually with no weapon. And the idea is that you are going into all these different rooms. You're trying to make your way through, and basically, you've got to kill everyone. So you could do that in a variety of ways. You could knock people out by like opening the doors, for instance, and then you have to smash their head basically against the floor or pound them basically until they die. And there is just loads of blood everywhere. And you pick up stuff. You can pick up like baseball bats, knives. You can pick up guns. And all this, and you go around and you shoot everything. But like, if you get like hit once or whatever, you're dead. But the great thing about the game is, and a lot of like rogue likes, which is a term gamers use, but I would do this in the future, is that when you die, you're immediately back at the beginning. So there's no loading time, there's no wait time, there's nothing to like stress you out, because you're already straight back into the start. And that is crucial for a game like this, because you will die a lot, because you basically, as I said, you've kind of got to get like the perfect run. And it's great, and it's very fast. It's very action heavy. As we said, it is extremely violent. And then it's interspersed within these levels is these weird, surreal, like acid trip kind of cutscenes, which are all very weird and dreamy, but also like the kind of pixelated faces that come up and all this, they all look like dirty and shabby and weird and horrible and gross. And it just looks great. It's got a really fucking cool, weird aesthetic to it.
Yeah, it's that neo-noir thing.
Yeah.
Remind me a little bit of the, like, in Traitor Streets of Rage as well.
Yeah.
That thing of, like, the shadowy syndicate. Who are these people? Mm. Crime going on in Miami.
Yeah, definitely.
I loved those cutscenes. I thought they were really cool. And I really liked the dialogue.
Yeah.
That made, like, actually made me laugh.
Yeah.
Because he's getting these phone calls, isn't he? That basically...
give him his mission.
Yeah. But they're all coded. Or they're all euphemistic, let's say. They're not coded, but it's kind of like... I'm looking after some kids and they need disciplining. There's a lot of them. I'm sure you'll be discreet.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's the thing. You're kind of like, it's not, I've, playing this back, I forgot how story heavy it is. Because to me, it was kind of like the story was a bit like blur. But actually, like, the story is an absolutely huge part of it. Just as much as the actual gameplay itself. But I didn't remember that as much first time round. Yeah, it's. I just remember like the quick, fast, you know, combat and all this. But it's actually those creepy scenes and all the stuff in between and around it that actually makes it kind of, you know, makes it better, basically. Makes it something that lifts it above other games, I would say.
And those levels, from what I saw, they do look challenging, but they all look quite fairly short.
Yeah.
And actually quite strategic. It's not just like run and smash the buttons till everyone's dead.
Yeah.
It seems you have to kind of like analyze the patterns of people walking around the room, pick the right moment to come in. Are you going to smash the door all the way through, or are you going to like kind of hide behind it a bit? So... I can see that's quite fun and satisfying. Like, it might take you like 8-10 goes to get through it, but each time you're learning something and you're adapting your strategy for getting through the level.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And yeah, there's things like there'll be like windows, so they'll be able to see you through that. But at the same time, it means you can shoot through them if you've got a gun, for instance, things like that. And as you said, yeah, like they're all in a pattern, like an old school game. So there's a stealth element to it as well, a little bit. But for the most part, it's kind of like there's loads of henchmen. You get kind of like bigger dudes, I would say, that take a few shotgun blasts to the belly before they go down. And there are dogs as well. And then you kind of have the odd like boss or whatever, like a special character or whatever that you have to fight against. And yeah, it's very simple. And you're just kind of making your way through it, taking these orders, going out, killing people, and yeah, progressing through the story. But yeah, I'll tell you a little bit more about the production of how it actually came to be. So apparently this is a spiritual successor to a game called Super Carnage, which one of the guys has been working on since he was 18, which is a very similar top-down shoot 'em up. But yeah, apparently it just got cancelled. But it wasn't until that the two of them met, and the guy, Dennis Wedin, however you say it, who was actually in a synth punk band called Fucking Werewolf Asso, they met up together and they did a promo game for the band, and it was called Keyboard Drum Set Fucking Werewolf. And then they did another game called Life Death Island, which was cancelled, unfortunately. And so, yeah, they were like, okay, it keeps getting cancelled. We keep fucking this up, basically. So let's go back to Super Carnage because that was quite cool. And then they started developing Hotline Miami.
Did Super Carnage come out?
No.
Eventually?
No, it was unreleased. I don't know if it came out eventually or if it's been released since.
But, or did it just evolve?
Yeah, just kind of evolved from that. So it sounds as if like the, Jonathan or whatever showed Dennis and was like, here's this old game I designed. Maybe we could do something with this. And that Dennis guy was like, yes.
Like, I've just seen Drive.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, he would have been. It's like, and yeah, that was it. Like Drive was a big influence. Apparently David Lynch was a big influence as well, which you can see.
Just in the Blue Velvet-esque violence.
Yeah. But yeah, but the fact that it's kind of like that, kind of surreal. And in some of the dialogue as well, you can kind of, you could kind of tell, but also like the way that Lynch would use, I'm making this up, they've not said this, but also the way Lynch would use like quite banal everydayness and then just have something a little off.
Yeah.
And that kind of builds up as the game goes along, because it starts off fairly normal-ish to a degree and it gets more nightmarish as it goes through. And you find out why later, which we'll come to.
Yeah, okay. So that hazy kind of like surreal nature just made it feel a bit like, again, it's kind of contributed to like the woozy 80s Miami vibe of like off his head on too much coke.
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. Well, that's what, then the whole thing is like, it's all about, you know, he gets news clippings and it's talking about, oh, it's all linked to drugs and all this stuff. So yeah, it's definitely part of it. What was cool is that Devolver actually opened a phone line in Miami as part of like the promotional thing.
Yeah.
And got people to call and leave voice messages of their own. And then apparently once the game was actually released, they made a trailer using those recordings, which is pretty cool. I thought.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? So should we get into it a little bit?
I'd love to know the background of this deeper story and kind of like where it all goes.
Where it goes.
And who are these three masks? Yeah, these people that are calling him.
Well, the masks, I should talk about the masks. So the part of it, as you're going through these levels, you choose a mask that you can wear. And you go through the thing with the mask. But the thing is, the more you play it, the more points you get, the more masks you unlock.
Right.
So it actually gives you like a boost to your actual gameplay. I've got a list of them here actually, because there's loads. I had a few of these, but there's loads that I didn't even know about. So you're...
Initially, you can be like a leopard, a horse, or a cock.
Yes, that's right. Yes. So the cock, the rooster, is the default kind of mask. I don't know if you want to call it the cannon mask that he's wearing, doing all this stuff. And that doesn't grant any special abilities. It's just a mask. You've got the owl one. And then apparently you get that. I'm not going to go through all these in great detail, but you get these by obtaining like a high score in certain things or whatever. And then the owl one apparently just highlights unlockable masks and puzzle pieces, whatever that means.
Wisdom.
Yeah, exactly. Tony, the tiger. You get faster executions and lethal punches, which I think I used a lot, if I remember, because I think I got that one. Aubrey, who's a pig, spawns more guns.
Nice.
Don Juan, who's a horse, slamming doors into enemies will kill them. It can be quite useful. Graham, the rabbit, walk fast. You just get faster. Dennis, the wolf. You always start with a knife at the beginning of the level. Very useful. George the giraffe, look further. So you can look further when you hold down one of the buttons. You'll be able to see more of the level. Ted, the dog. The dogs don't attack, which after a while is actually very useful because some of those dogs can be a right pain. Rufus the elephant. You won't die when you're hit by the first bullet. So that can obviously really help you as well. Rami the camel, extra ammo. So you get a third more bullets to your magazine. William the monkey, rip and steal. You steal the enemy's weapons when you perform a standing execution. Peter the unicorn, quiet gunshots, means it reduces the amount of noise. Sometimes when you shoot people, everyone will just come bam, 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 and running in because they've obviously heard you do it. Zack the frog, longer combo window. So combos, the more people you kill in a short space of time, get a combo, your points go up, blah, blah, blah. So he makes the combo multiplier last a bit longer. Oscar the mole, just darkness. The game gets a dark red filter. Rick the fox, good shot. Enemies will always die in one bullet. Apparently, you can also get better accuracy one as well. I don't know what that means. And Brandon the panther, walk faster. You can go even faster than you would be able to already with the other mask. Charlie the octopus, more melee weapons. So it spawns more melee weapons, obviously. Louis the chameleon, hard to spot. Makes jacket harder to be detected. Phil the fish, French translation. It makes a bad translation of all the dialogue to French, which is quite funny.
That's great.
Nigel the bat, reverse controls. So you have reverse walking controls. I know people love that kind of thing. Elle the walrus, survived two bullets. So you can survive two bullets before you die.
Wow.
Jones the alligator, more gore. Makes loads more blood on the screen. Carl,
how many of these are there?
I'm almost done. Carl the locust grasshopper, start with a drill. You get a drill at the beginning of the level. Jake the Cobra, killing throws. You kill enemies when you throw weapons at them. Richter the Rat, you start with a silenced Uzi. It's pretty good. Russell the Bull, Raging Bull. Apparently this was exclusive to Xbox One, PS3, PS4, Vita, Switch and Stadia. You get a black and white filter.
Hang on, did you say a fetus?
Vita, the PS Vita, which is what I had. It was the handheld device in PlayStation.
I thought there was a fetus mask.
No.
They've almost exhausted the whole of everything that was on Noah's Ark there.
I mean, you'd have to do it to death to get all 27 of those masks, however many there were. I think I had like 4 or 5 that I would kind of choose from.
It's cool though, right? Because it's good for replay if you want to say, oh, I'm going to get all the different masks this time.
So you get all the masks that it gives you, and each one will give you a different experience, won't it?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I love little things like that.
So it's very simple, and it's very easy for them to program in. So let's start. Let's go into the plot. I'm going to try and do my best here. So we should say, like, even just turning it on and going into the game, it's all like very hazy, very synth wavy. The font doesn't really make sense, which is quite cool in itself. You're already kind of in this like drunken stupor. It feels like everything's like a wash with synth wave and neon almost. And then so you come in. And there's these three guys sitting there. There's a rooster, a horse, I think it is, and an owl. The rooster's just like, they're basically saying like, oh, you're responsible for your own actions. Like, you know, don't you understand yourself? Can't you recognize yourself? All this kind of stuff you don't really recognize, but it's all like very dark. There's all these bits flying around and you're just like, you don't really know what's going on.
Don't say like, don't you remember what you did?
Yeah, exactly. Don't you remember what you did?
Last month or something.
Yeah, something like that. And then basically you then kind of get a flashback to you waking up. You're in your flat, get a phone call. They say, you know, go do X, Y, Z. You're like, okay, cool. And then when you, outside your place, it's a package and it's got like a mask in. And it says like, you know, it's basically insinuating that you're going to go kill someone and you're wearing this mask, this rooster mask. So what I love here as well is like the car, it's like a fucking DeLorean or something like that. It's like a pure 80s, like future car. It's quite funny. As we said, when you go into these levels, you walk around, you kill everyone, you knock them out. It's very, very bloody, very, very cool. You get points as well. Points mean prizes. At the end of each level, what I also quite like is that it makes you go back through the way you came. So what's really nice is that added thing of just being like, you're looking through all the carnage that you've just done. It's an extra reminder about what you've done, basically.
It's like a victory lap.
It's like a victory lap, but I think it's also supposed to be disturbing. As in like walking past all like the dead bodies and all the blood like that you've just caused.
And
it's to make you kind of reflect on it maybe a little bit.
Which
way you want to go.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then you have these little bits which he meets a shopkeeper who's this bearded guy who seems quite nice, basically. He says, oh, I'm sorry about your girlfriend. You know, you don't look well. I hope you're all right. Have something for free. And then you'll get a few of these as we go on, but it's always the same character, no matter where he works. And he's always like, well, until near the end, but we get to that. And he's always like, hey man, like, you know, oh God, it's a real tough time out there, but you know, here, take this for free. It's on the house or whatever. And you're like, oh, this guy's like a nice guy. To begin with, you're just going into a shop, you're buying whatever snack and you're kind of going out. So it's all fairly normal.
I don't know quite where this is going, the end. I didn't watch all the way through to that point. I just assumed that he is like a middleman who's basically paying him off.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I didn't think of it like that. You could see it like that, yeah.
It's kind of like, there's a pizza here for you on the house. Mm. I just assume there's probably like money or whatever in the pizza box. And he's like, got a very nice film for you that you'll enjoy when he's working in the video shop. So I'm thinking, box full of money.
That might show my ignorance then, because that would make sense. Yeah, I didn't even think of it like that. But yeah. Yeah, he's just giving him stuff. I just thought of it as in like, he's like, oh, I just killed a bunch of people. I just want to get a drink, or like, I want to have something to eat. Because it's not really indicated why he's doing it. And I think that's also part of it. So if it's the fact that he's like getting paid for it through these means, that would make sense. So yeah, that's good. Good observation. But yeah, you don't know that for sure. They don't actually say anything. But yeah, that's cool.
Well, yeah. So is he kind of like, is he kind of more complicit, or is he?
Well, that's it. It keeps playing. Yeah, you don't know. And this is why it's kind of taking that kite. You know, there's nothing really happening that much by this point, but it feels a little odd and weird. Like, who is this guy? Like, why is he doing this? Like, and he says like weird stuff, and he obviously knows you. It's like, I haven't seen you here for a while and all this. So, yeah, you don't know what his deal is. And also, I'm a little bit dubious of people that give me free stuff anyway. So that probably adds to it. Then basically you kind of go through these levels. You go, it's like, as you said, there's like a movie rental pizza place. At one point he saves basically this drugged up girl on this bed, from like some movie producer or something. You save her, you take her out, take her back home with you. And then throughout the rest of that game, she kind of, you know, she sleeps on your couch. She starts getting up. She starts like, you know, getting back to health by the looks of it. But yeah, at first she's all like spacey and druggy and weird. It's just like, oh, just kill me, just end it. And then you've kind of got these little cool bits in the level as well, at different levels as well. Like there's one bit where they're like, oh, one of our people got caught or something, finished the job. And then you go and there's a guy like attached to a bomb. So when you shoot him, he explodes.
Satisfying.
Yeah, really satisfying. And then as you kind of go along, stuff starts getting a bit more fucked up. So when you go back to the store, there's like a dead guy just in front of it. And you're like, that's horrible. And then you also start noticing like a guy in green, like a caretaker, who just looks fucking weird. He's like hoovering or mopping up just around in the levels or like in your flat. And he looks all like creepy, and they make a point of it. He's like some fucking weirdo. And you're like, okay. So, and then, but you're going through the levels. You're like, there's like guys sitting on the toilet that you're shooting, and stuff like that. And you're doing the game bits. And then, that he gets these little like newspaper clippings. And they're talking about these people in masks killing people, more crime, drug gangs, blah, blah, blah. It's to do with the Russian mafia or whatever and things like that. And I was wondering, is it like, are they talking about him? Or they're talking about, you know, because obviously we've seen those people in the masks. Is it like them? Or is it, are they all me? Or is it, there's just loads of people out there in these masks doing the same kind of thing that I'm doing?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you're like, not really sure what this is saying.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I like to think that a lot of it is him. Yeah. Reports of his own actions getting back to him.
Yeah, and he's kind of keeping track of it as well, which is quite cool. So yeah, you do a few more of these levels. They get obviously a bit more intricate, a bit harder, and all this as you kind of go along. And then there's one point where you you come against like a biker character in a biker helmet, and he's like on this computer, doing whatever. Yeah, because you get a phone call when, at the end of one level, and they're like, oh, yeah, there's a prank caller from this other place. You've got to go kill him. You're like, okay. But as you walk through, like everyone's dead. So someone's already come in and killed everyone. You're like, well, this is weird. And then, yeah, you come in and this is biker guy. And he's like, oh, what are you doing? Get out of here, whatever. And then you basically go to fight him. And he's got like a knife and he's quite fast. He's a bit of a boss battle, basically. It's important for a reason which we'll come on to later, but you basically kill him. And you're like, okay, well, that's done. But you're a bit like, that was weird. Like, he's an actual character and he's like hacking into something, into the phone lines, whatever. You know, that's strange, but it kind of makes sense because of what you're doing, you know, and the phone calls that you're getting and whatever. And then, yeah, so you have a few more levels. There's like a nightclub level, which is really cool. If you remember seeing that.
Yeah.
There's a few of those that come towards the end. But yeah, as you're kind of doing more of these levels, the shops that you're going to, there starts to be like dead bodies on the floor that suddenly like disappear or something. And they're like, oh, did you see that? Did it go? Whatever. And you're like, okay, it's getting more and more surreal, more and more nightmarish and horrible. And like the people that he's killing are starting to like be, that you're killing are starting to like appear and all this. And then suddenly your screen starts like going like an old TV. So it's kind of breaking down that fourth wall as in like, you know, like you playing the game is starting to get interrupted, which I thought was quite cool.
Yeah. Always like stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. And then it comes to one point where you find that there's this basically like bald guy covered in blood who's now working in all these shops that you're going to. And he's just like, get out or we're closed or, you know, I think you should leave, buddy, kind of thing. But he looks like fucking psychotic. And there's one point, I think maybe a couple of points where you see like the dead body of the bearded guy, like just on the floor, like behind the counter. And so, he's like killing all of your like friends or whatever, if you want to call them that. It's getting a bit more fucked up. And then there's also one bit, during the level where someone climbs out of a van and they're like, oh, help me, help me. Then you've got and then it does these like quick cuts of you killing the person, beating the shit out of them and then setting them on fire. And you're just like, okay, this is getting like, this is quite horrible now. And I think it's after that bit, you go home back to your flat and your girlfriend's like just dead in the toilet. And you're like, oh, fuck. And then you go into the lounge and there's some guy in a rat mask who's like, oh, you're back. Hey. And he just shoots you dead. And then it goes even more nightmarish. And you see, you like wake up again. And then you see just your body where you've just been shot. And then it talks about like, oh, there's like a warm bed waiting for you or something like that. And then you're suddenly like in this like hospital outfit, I guess. And you walk up and you see like your body in like a hospital bed. And it's weird.
So what's all that about then?
And then you blow your head off, you kill yourself. And then you find out it cuts to a hospital and you're in a coma. The whole thing has just been some fucking coma dream in your head. And then you're overhearing like what they're talking about. Well, I don't know if you're I suppose you are overhearing it because he wakes up after this, but they say how the girlfriend is dead. He's been like this for ages. He's the only guy that can identify the killer. And he's like, they're like, oh, he's locked up, but we're going to have to let him go soon because this guy needs to hurry up and wake up, basically.
All the Jacob's Ladder thing.
Yeah, exactly. And then you wake up out of your coma. You basically break out of the hospital. You go back to your place. So you change into your like normal clothes. You see like the white outline of where your girlfriend was in the toilet, in the bathroom. Everything's like all horrible and bloody. It's like a crime scene, obviously. And it's like, yeah, it's really like a bit nasty.
Yeah.
And then you...
And then the phone rings.
Then this bit... Well, the phone doesn't ring. This bit's cool. Does the phone ring?
No.
Oh, you don't know.
Just saying it. Just lying.
Just lying. And then you basically go to the police station and you kill every single policeman. It's like Terminator. Like when you go to the thing. And you're just walking through, you're just killing everyone to get to this guy who killed your girlfriend. And then as you get down there, it's that bald guy that you'd just seen in your coma dream who had killed your mates, you know, who's
seven. Right.
And he's like, yeah, he goes, I don't know what you want me to tell you. Like, they just told me to do it. It wasn't anything personal. I haven't got any answers for you. And he's kind of saying things that you've heard from, you know, the three masked people in your like fever dream thing.
Right.
Kind of repeating some of that stuff and some of the stuff that you've heard. It's like, you can ask me a question, but I haven't got an answer. Like, I just did it. Like, they told me to do it. And, you know, that's just it. He's like, you know, I got the phone calls as well. You've obviously had them. And he's like, you know, I'm just like you. I just went in and killed people or whatever. So that's quite cool as well, in that it's like...
It makes sense that all that information would feed into that kind of horrible dream.
Yeah, exactly. But also, like, that thing of he's got a phone call and been told to do it, like, you don't really know why you've killed any of these people. Like, if it was the other way around and he was asking you, like, why'd you do it? You'd be like, I don't know. Like, I got a phone call and I just went and did it. I don't know. But he gives you an address or something. And then I think you can either have a choice of killing him or leaving him. It's up to you. But you go to this club, this nightclub, and all these nightclub bits are really cool. The owner's like, oh, okay, I'll give you the address. And he gives you another address. And then you turn up, you kill this, you kill this guy and these honchos. Honchos, is that a word? Henchmen. What's a honcho?
Head honcho.
Yeah, okay, right, true. That's probably where I've got it from. And I love the music here, like, throughout. I know we've kind of come onto it later, but it's like super distorted and really gritty and angry, because obviously this is kind of like you're on a revenge trip now. And this guy's like shooting machine guns and you're trying to like get another gun, I think, from the middle. But then he's just like, oh, I can see how this ends. And then he just blows his head off. So you're like, you don't even really get a boss battle. Then you get a phone call and it's like, hey, keep the noise down there. Jesus, trying to get some sleep. And then you go up in a lift and it's just some old guy in a wheelchair. And you shoot the old man basically in his face. He dies. You take your mask off and have a cigarette on the balcony. And that's basically, that's kind of the end, but it isn't, because then suddenly you're given a flashback to the biker guy that you saw earlier. Remember that biker guy?
I do.
Into that thing? And he's like in the middle of like beating someone up. He's like, you know, he's basically complaining that he's bored of killing. Like, he's like, I want some excitement, but it's ridiculous. I want out. I'm bored of this and all that. And the guy's like, oh, I don't know what you could do. Like, I'm just some guy, like, whatever. And so now you get your biker guy. He's a bit more quicker, and he's got a knife as well, which is very useful. You can throw them and stab with them and stuff. So it kind of adds a bit, you kind of mix it up a little bit in terms of the gameplay here. And there's some kind of, they start talking about some kind of political undertones or whatever, but you're not quite sure, and I'm still not quite sure by the end. But then, yeah, you get to that bit where you killed the biker guy, but now obviously you're the biker. And then, but it's a bit different this time because you kill Jacket, the character.
Yeah.
So that's weird. So it's like, okay, that was strange. So what happens now? And then you escape. And then basically you find out that this cleaning crew that you've seen around did it, basically. They're the ones that have set up this whole thing, apparently, have been making the phone calls. And that, and now you can get kind of two different endings here. You can either, if you found like certain scrapbook bits or something throughout the levels, you can basically work out their code.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh yeah, okay, cool. We're part of like, we're patriots. We're all about, we want to get rid of the Russians and the Russian America alliance and all this stuff. And so that's why we're trying to fuck everything up and all this. Apparently if you don't find all this stuff, they're just like, I don't know, we were bored. And I think that's the ending that I've had. They're like, yeah, we know, we just got people to kill each other. Cause why not? Cause we can. But yeah, if you get the political ending, if you find all the stuff, about how, like, yeah, they're doing it for America, yo.
God, yeah, that's the ending you want. You don't, that other ending's like deflating.
Yeah, a little bit deflating. And then you kill them and that's it. But yeah, they talk about, what's it called? I've got it here, 50 blessings. Yeah, and they've basically been using, you might notice that there's these like newsletters that go out that you see in your flat. They've basically been using this membership to carry out the killings. Yeah, to stop this relationship between the Soviet Union and the United States.
Nice. I like that it ties back to that good old like 80s Cold War
paranoia. Exactly. Yeah, and I think part of it as well is that, and to do with the old man and all this stuff, is that there's always someone else. Like, I think that's part of the narrative, is that you'll never reach, there is no end boss. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, okay, yeah.
Because the cleaners are like, oh, we're just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah,
it's like there's always like a bigger thing. You think you kill the head honcho, you think you get the killer, and then he goes to the club, but then he works for someone else, and he works for someone else, and he works for someone else. Yeah, it's just like nonstop.
I was going to say, you know, so much bloodshed, so much of it enjoyable, but why did the old man have to die? Just an old man in a wheelchair.
Well, he was apparently in charge of it all, but at the same time, he wasn't. But yeah, those two like cleaner guys, I have a feeling that they're supposed to be the two developers. Which would make sense.
That's the right way. A fun way to write yourself into a game.
Yeah, exactly. But so yeah, that's basically the plot. But it is, for me, super fun. I liked how surreal and nightmarish and horrible it was, even towards the end. Because even the fact that, you know, you're the biker and you kill who you've just been playing as, like, just fucks up that narrative as well. And it doesn't try and explain it or anything like that. It's just like, I don't know, just believe what you want. You know, what story do you want?
Yeah.
It's up to you. Yeah. And I really, really enjoyed that. But yeah, the style of it is cool. I love the pace of it and the fact that, as you said, like, you know, it gives you that opportunity to kind of experiment more with how you want to play a level. And yeah, you get a little bit further each time. You're learning a little bit more. And it's kind of like a puzzle game in its own weird, violent way. And it's just cool to play. It's just really addictive to actually just sit and play it, let alone all the cool stuff that kind of sits in between it and all that, the synthwave shit that surrounds it. Yeah.
Well, maybe we should talk about that synthwave shit.
Mm.
Because that seems like such a big part of the game.
Yeah, for sure. So I don't understand, like, so yeah, synthwave, obviously Drive was very synthwave and that's a big part of it, but they've got some like pretty cool stuff. So I should say that this is probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite game soundtrack, or soundtrack to a game, I should say, ever. I know you can get, I don't know, did you do any research on the vinyl stuff?
I did, but if you want to know about that, then you have to come to Nerd's Corner.
Oh, okay, well, let's go there. Right now.
So yeah, the soundtrack was originally released MP3 in 2013. But they did press it to vinyl on Laced Records.
Yeah, against Laced.
2016, and they did a repress in 2017. And the repress seems to be exactly the same. It's even the same colors, and it looks like a really nice package. It's three discs, so you've got this kind of like trifold gatefold sleeve, mm-hmm. and each panel's got one of the like masks, basically. Yeah. You got a horse, the rooster, and the owl. It's on like red vinyl and yellow, kind of like neon, looks like a highlighter kind of color. Mm. So it's like really brash, funky, in your face packaging. And what one of the discs is black as well. Loads of people saying really great pressing, sounds really good. The cheapest you can get the original pressing at the moment on Discogs, there's only one copy for sale for £289.
Yeah, it is so rare. So because I started, well, as you know, with my records and stuff again, that has been one of my holy grails.
Really?
Yeah, and when I look into it, it is just super rare, and people are dying for another repress because, yeah, they keep getting snapped up very quickly, as you can imagine.
There was only 5,000 copies of this first pressing. Mm. Apparently, it was a Kickstarter thing.
Oh, really? Okay.
And then the second pressing, can't see how many were pressed, but even that, the cheapest one for sale at the moment is £209.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like the average selling price of that is 180 quid.
Yeah.
And the average of the first press is 213 quid. That's more than like Rare Nirvana records. Or
Yeah. That's how much people want it. I mean, music is such a big... The music's great. It's so well selected, obviously, by the developers.
Yeah.
I did read somewhere, I should have maybe done a bit more research on that, that they did pay like a fair chunk of money to get these songs, but they were like, it's worth it. Like,
yeah, it makes sense. Because it just adds such a different element, extra element to the game.
Mm.
And do you know any of these artists? So
yeah.
We've got...
Well, we've talked about Perturbator before.
I thought I recognised that name. Yeah. What was that from? Yeah,
we did a hit and shit a while back, and he was, I can't remember which song I chose. But yeah, he's a big deal. He's probably the biggest name on there. I listen to this album a lot, so I'm fairly familiar now with a lot of these. But my other favourite one is, I don't even know if you say it this way, but Moon.
M space N.
They were, I don't know, like fairly, I mean, people know them for this really, but okay. But yeah, I'd already kind of heard of them. Perturbator are the big ones, and the other people I'd never heard of, but they're really, really good. The whole album is great, and it's worth checking out, definitely.
Those other artists: Sana Raw, Jasper Byrne, Elliot Berlin, Scattle,
yeah,
Eric Cirque,
yeah,
El Huevo, and Coconuts.
Coconuts, yes.
I started listening to this. I really enjoyed it. But of course, the first song, which is Horse Steppin', it's 10 minutes long. So, most of the time I dedicated to listening to this album did get eaten up by horse stepping, but I really liked that. It's a bit different actually to some of the other stuff. It's just like a kind of like ambient dream texture kind of thing.
Yeah, so they use that quite often in the game.
Really nice.
Yeah. Probably very reason good. Why it's like 10 minutes, but yeah, it's nice.
What's going to happen then if this is one of your Holy Grail records?
I don't know. I have to wait for a repress, won't I?
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is that I have the same problem with Hotline Miami too, which is also great. And that's a great soundtrack. And it's the same problem. But yeah, it is great. And yeah, like Hotline Miami 2, I guess we should talk about that a little bit. It was released 2015. It's kind of a sequel in terms of the story.
Yeah.
It's much longer. And I don't think that was a good thing because I got a bit tired of it by the end. And they try and open out the gameplay a little bit more. I believe it also came with a map editor. So you could do your own maps. They kind of flick around in time a little bit. So they've got, I think it's like the Vietnam War is part of it and all this. And they try and do like a more bigger story with it. And for me, it kind of falls a bit, it becomes a bit try hard. It falls a bit flat. And I really liked with this first game, the fact that it felt very succinct, very hard, fast, you're in and you're out. Like you could do that entire game in like a couple of hours, basically. It's no biggie, but I believe like Hotline Miami 2, it was a bit bigger chunk of your time. And it kind of got to a point where doing those kind of levels and that kind of gameplay,
yeah,
you can only really sustain for like a short amount of time before you're like, ugh.
A bit burned out.
Another one. Yeah. Like this.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it was still good and it's still got a really good soundtrack and there's still some really good bits in it. But I was like, yeah, they've tried to make this the big sequel. And it just didn't have nearly the same impact as this first one.
Which is Hotline Miami 3?
I think they stopped. I think the two of them were like, yeah, we're done.
And I'm surprised another developer or another games publisher hasn't picked it up and just kind of like reskinned it or something with a different theme. Like you could easily do some kind of killing monsters or something in castles and dungeons and things.
Yeah, true. I mean, like you still can get that like 16-bit, I suppose maybe it is, aesthetic games thing. And also, as I said, like it's kind of like a roguelike. So roguelike is basically where you're almost playing the same game again and again, but each time you get a little bit further, you get more experience. Maybe you've unlocked something, maybe you've unlocked a door, maybe you've been granted a new ability. But essentially, you're kind of like starting the game again each time that you die. So it's not quite like that because it's still levels and things like that. But and that's also usually got a very fast refresh rate in terms of the game. So I don't know. So I don't know. Not that started it or anything like that, but not at all. But I feel like people have kind of taken that aesthetic, done something similar, and all this. But it's not. Hotline Miami definitely stands like on its own in terms of. You know, no one's kind of gone like the surreal route with it, if you know what I mean. But yeah, you're right. Like it's something that's quite simple that people could easily just rip off.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone's quite done it. Or maybe they have and I'm not aware of it. I don't know. But yeah.
If there are other similar games out there, do hit us up and let us know.
Exactly. So yeah, I think that's it for Hotline Miami. But yeah, I really, really enjoy this game. And I do think it is odd. Came out of nowhere, made really cheap, did really, really well. Like sold a lot, I believe. I haven't got how many in front of me here, but you know, it's done really well. And you can get it on everything. You can get the Hotline Miami collection, which is 1 and 2. And you can get that for everything. Switch, Stravia, whatever it's called, Stadia, sorry. And yeah, any other platforms, your PlayStations, your Xboxes, whatever. And yeah, as I said, it's a couple of hours. Like you can smash it out and do it in one sitting if you really wanted. It's worth doing.
Lovely. Well, I'm going to get straight onto my phone, wait for the call. Maybe I'll get a cryptic summoning to clean up some trash.
Yeah. Well, yeah, just stay away from my house. Yeah, and I'll try and stay away from the doors. Cool. All right. Well, that's it, guys. That's another episode of our cast. Over and out. Thanks everyone for listening and I guess we'll see you on the next one.
Stay odd, people.
Bye. Hey guys, thank you for listening to Oddcast Movies, Music and Gaming. If you want to get in touch with us or get a movie, album or game put on our list to discuss, then email us at oddcastoddballs@gmail.com or anewwinterpodcast@gmail.com. This is part of a New Winter Podcast Network, so head on over to anewwinter.net to check out our other shows. You can also follow us on Instagram @anewwinter, Twitter @anewwinter, and you can head on over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/anewwinter. Thanks for listening and see you again soon.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.